Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What was your most problematic behavior you did during March of 2020?
I didn't get into baking bread, but if I did, I would say that.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe? This week, we've got Irene Tu on the podcast, an incredible stand-up comedian who is currently on tour, slaying the country left and right.
Politically, physically, geographically.
So excited for you to hear this episode. But first, I'm even more excited to tell you that the tickets are on sale, babe, for That's a Gay-Ass Live Show here in Los Angeles. It's on April 27th. And yes, we revealed the lineup. There's Brian Safi, Greta Titelman, Jared Goldstein, Brandon Kyle Goodman, and more to come. So get those tickets at the link in the description at my bio, because I would adore if we sold her out again. The show is like 3 weeks from now, so get them so I also can sleep a little better. Let's get into this episode for Irene Tu's Gay Ass Podcast. We talk about the queerness of Hey Arnold. We let Irene take a shit on risotto, which is hard to hear. And her character actress of choice is one we have not discussed enough, and I'm grateful she gave us that platform today. If you enjoy, you know what to do. Leave a review, but if there's one thing you really should do is buy a ticket to That's a Gay Ass Live Show, or if you don't live in LA, tell someone that does live here to go see it for themselves. I love ya. My friends, Irene Tu is on That's a Gay Ass Fucking Podcast. Irene, this has been, dare I say, years in the making. The universe brought us together.
Years,
I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so sorry. I had to reschedule on you so many times because, like, I just had so many tragic things happen back to back.
Oh, no. You're a survivor.
Yeah. Because, like, we were supposed to record and, like, I had, like, left my, like, wallet in, like, Madison, Wisconsin. And I was in Chicago. I had to drive all the way back. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't pod right now because I don't have my wallet and my keys.
Was, like, the wallet found in the gullet of a beaver?
I left it in a restaurant.
I guess it's a badger.
And someone,
oh, well. Tomato, yeah. Tomato. Which actually is so amazing. You've been doing your big They Energy tour.
She's
been
true.
In San Diego. She's been in Chicago. She's been in Fort Collins, Seattle, Portland. The biggest controversial question I have to start us off, the hottest people are in what city that you've been to in this 50 states?
I'm going to be honest. All of my crowds look kind of the same.
Oh, wait. Give me the pitch. What do they look like?
They're all...
Flannel?
They're all... they're pretty queer, I would say. I mean, obviously, still have some straights that come in the show. We love the straights.
Sure. We love.
I love a mix of people. You know, I don't like to have, like, all one type of person at my show. But they're all pretty queer, very shy.
Interesting. Shy. Does that mean, like, after the show, they eye fuck you from the cross room, but they won't say hi?
No, they will, like, because I'll do a meet and greet after my shows. Mm-hmm. But they'll come up and they'll be like, hi, or they'll be like really nervous to talk to me, or they'll be like, is it okay if I take a photo? And I fully said on stage, you can take a photo with me.
it's the overcorrection of consent.
Yeah. And it's like, guys, like, it's chill. Like,
they need three really confirmations of a yes. Like, a yes means no until it's three yeses, yeah. And then it's yes.
So they're all like that, which is very cute and nice, but I'm like, guys, it's like totally fine, you can take a photo with me.
Do you mind if I stand within 20 feet?
I know. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I said this okay. But it's, you know, it's perfectly nice and fine. And I think they're like usually pretty young too. Like, I get a lot of like younger fans.
Listen, we yeah. are creating the future we want, which is really socially nervous. Yeah.
I mean, I blame TikTok for that.
Well, so does the government. I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on with TikTok right now, but I just know that.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I mean,
it's happening.
Personally, I would love for them to ban TikTok so then I don't have to figure out how to use it.
Sure. Are you not a big TikTok girl?
No, I've posted like a few clips on there, but I, you know, when you get older, you just get used to what you're used to. And then I got used to Instagram and I didn't.
I thought you were still doing Facebook.
No, I mean, I know Facebook and I know Instagram, but then I reached that age where I'm like, no new apps.
I'm just picturing you stopped at Irene is doing her homework. Like the status update with the is.
That's funny. I forgot about those.
I think I felt pressure and hatred and self-disgust with social media from the dawn, but I think I've just learned to live with it. Like, I really, I'm not joking, it's been a very new journey to not feel pressure to post things and only post when I actually want to in my gay bones. And that's been in the past few weeks, and it's starting to feel a little healthier. I used to feel like if I don't post that I no one cares about me, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I don't think that's true either.
I don't think it's true.
I'm on the flip side now, where I would only post if I wanted to or if I thought something was cool. And now I am feeling that pressure that I do need to just post content and then not look at it.
Oh, that's good.
Not because I think like it is reflective of me in any way, but I'm like, oh, I just like need people to find me.
Oh, I get that. I get that. You know what happened that truly this podcast helped me with is I was interviewing the genius Tommy Doe, who lives here in LA now, and he told me that when he posts something, because I was like very much, it was like 2 years ago, and I was very much like, how do you not feel like a crazy person when you post something, especially right. if it's like a silly video or whatever? And he said if he sees that three people that he respects have like liked it or anything, he then says, okay, I'm done, and then I move on with my life.
Oh, that's nice.
And I've started to like be like, you know, if three people that I have love for like give any sort of positive something with it, I'm like, that's all that I can't ask for anything more, nor should I.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to try and use that.
You should. It's been very helpful. And speaking of, I was looking at your Instagram all of 10 minutes ago, and on one of your first posts, you had posted about one of the shows you had done. I forget which city you were in. And Chrissy Teigen commented, you were so amazing. What the fook is the backstory there?
Oh, yeah. That is my pinned post currently because I had put the picture alongside my tour dates. I hosted a Planned Parenthood gala like a month ago, and she was one of like the honorees. So
are you, you're pro choice? I'm kidding.
Yeah. So I'm pro Chrissy Teigen.
Pro Chrissy's life.
Yeah. So it was like, I like had the little kind of speech thing at the top, very short. And then I kind of emceed the event, and, she was there and she laughed at my jokes, which was nice. She was sitting in the front. She was very kind, and she was like, you were great. And I was like, okay.
Wow. And then she was like, do you mind if I take a picture?
And I was like, and then we took a photo and I posted it, and then she commented, which was really nice.
Wow, that is.
So we love Chrissy. We love Chrissy.
We on the pod, we love Chrissy yeah. Teigen. So I just want like to tell you the brilliance of the title of your tour, Big They Energy, because I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I watch all of your stuff, and the fact that you were on our dear friend Ashley Gavin's podcast.
Yes. Love Ashley.
Love Ashley, who's been on this one twice. And she was asking you, of course, you know, name and pronouns, and you say that you go by she, her, but you cut a Midwestern man in the comments saying, wow, great, she's great. And then some random people be like, hey, they are great. And you're like, actually, I've never publicly said that.
Yeah, it's really funny to me. It happens a lot where people will like come to my defense and like correct people on my pronouns, and I'm like I've literally never said this.
It's again the overcorrection that yeah. I think is like, it's so well intentioned, but
it's like
believe women.
Someone sent me a really long DM the other day that was like, Because they didn't like one of my jokes. Well, the thing with like social media now is like you have to post really short clips of your stand-up.
Right.
So obviously you don't get the full joke, right? And the stuff that does the best is you kind of pick something where like, oh, people might talk about this joke, right? So I posted like one of those jokes, and then someone like sent me a message and was like, I can't believe you would say that as someone of like the in our community who identifies as a they. And I was like, again, I have never said this.
Yeah, I find this to be gorgeous. And I also find, did you respond to that comment? Is my first
no, I didn't. Message. Well, it's, I don't usually respond to any comments because there's just no point.
I think that's smart because I just received a message like that that did it did rock me a little because I still hold on to people pleasing tendencies. Mm. And I had posted a video that got thrown around a lot, which was that gay people are not a danger to children. Children are a danger to gay people. And then it's a clip of my nephew jumping on my collarbones. Oh, like fully.
That's funny.
And it did like, and I'm not trivializing at all the horrible things that happen with like mass shootings and schools, like bad, bad, bad. I'm very anti children dying. However, someone messaged me that it could have been seen at, that it was insensitive or inappropriate because of children dying. And I first was like, I needed to delete it. Apparently I hate children. I'm done for. And then I took a step back and I was like, I understand the feeling behind it, and I very much want to be sensitive to all of the things happening in this world, but I don't think me responding would have been probably good for me or for that person.
Right. It's just no point. Like, do you want to have a full conversation with this random person who probably won't change their mind?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I sometimes worry about like things that, like, I posted a video that I know it's going to follow me whenever the thing that does cancel me will be a turkey video I posted over Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Eight years ago. You're like, maybe you should be canceled. It was literally why gay men don't like Thanksgiving. It's me baking a turkey. And of course, it looks like what you might think it looks like. And it's just me going, oh, God. And then I walk away. That's the entire video.
Okay,
but
funny.
It was pretty funny. But it was also like very low hanging fruit. And sure. If it does resurface, people either think it's funny or that I'm transphobic.
Right.
So I'm just kind of bracing for that to be the thing. But you said risotto is extremely overrated, so I think that's yours.
Yeah, I did say that.
Who hurt you? What risotto hurt you?
Every risotto I've ever had has been mediocre, at best. Sometimes just bad. I don't think it's good.
Well, listen, we can be on different ends of the political spectrum with risotto, and I think that's
what... We really can't. It's just bad. Oh, okay. I'm very intolerant to everyone's acceptance of risotto as, like... fine dining food.
Okay, I don't think this is fine dining, but I do think it's delicious and a cousin to risotto. Do you like a rice ball, like an arancini?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's risotto is just like the rice is like a weird texture because it's like,
sure.
It's not like sticky rice where it's like nice and soft or whatever. So it's like kind of a little hard, but like it's like not fully cooked. It's like al dente rice, but then it's like wet. It's like wet al dente rice. It's like, just cook it all the way, make a curry. Like, what are we doing? And why is it like $30?
What's happening right now is we've now become Las Culturistas and you're doing an I don't think so, huh?
Yeah. That's true.
I don't think so, risotto. We like to be very topical on Mexican Ass Podcast, and today's pop culture headline is risotto. Yay or nay? Well, listen, Irene, I feel like we could go back and forth about this risotto for the next hour, but I do need to ask you the famous podcast question, which is, Irene, too, whose fault is it that you're gay? Whose fault is it that you're not they? Who do we blame, babe?
We blame Rocket Power.
Oh, woogie, 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 woogie.
Woogie, woogie, woogie. Woogie, woogie, woogie. I'm so glad you've seen the show.
I do. I have seen it. I also have the perfect age bracket of having started to watch it and then have a younger brother who is 5 years younger than me who religiously watched it. I do think that it is canonically queer, but people don't talk about it enough. People don't talk about it.
Also, a lot of people didn't watch it. It's kind of like some kids like really watched it like me. And then some people like just didn't really watch it at all.
Can we unpack the Rocket Power? I mean, it was, I feel like the, it was, had a very masculine energy of like the skateboarding of the, like, was it like a shack, like a, what kind of, like, there was like,
okay, so it was these kids,
snack shack.
Yeah. They like lived in like Hawaii, I think.
Yeah, something
basically
like that.
And they all played extreme sports. So they would be like surfing, playing like hockey in the street, like where they're like rollerblading and stuff, skateboarding, like snowboarding, like basically every extreme sport they were doing.
Right.
And it was four of these characters. It was three boys and this one girl named Reggie. And she was definitely a lesbian. For sure.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. And she was the coolest one. And she was like very smart. And everyone else was like kind of dumb. and I like really related to Reggie because I was like, oh, she's like great at sports. And I like love sports as a kid. And she was like smart and like whatever. And I was like, yeah, like I'm Reggie Rocket. And pretty sure that that may be gay.
If Reggie Rocket was an IRL person and you're both adults now, would you be attracted to Reggie?
No, I don't think so. I think she'd just be really cool. I think if Reggie Rocket was an IRL person right now, she would be Caitlin Clark.
Do I know Caitlin Clark?
She's that basketball player.
Oh, right.
She plays for Iowa. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. And the thing is, I also feel like it's important to bring up Reggie Rocket right now for a visual because, yeah. The one thing I remember
she
was
like purple hair. Yeah, purple hair.
Yeah. There's purple hair. There's a camo pant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a red rimmed sunglass. There is a pink shirt with a green rocket. I'm seeing a real woman dressed up as Reggie Rocket right now in a crop top with giant breasts. She's very hot. I will say she looks very hot. But no, Reggie should have a float at Pride is what we're saying.
Oh,
Rocket
fully.
Power at Pride.
Fully.
There was something about that whole era though of cartoon, I feel, that had a queerness to it that
like Hey Arnold.
Oh my God.
Helga,
hey Arnold was, Helga
definitely
is a fucking...
in the closet. Like literally she was in her closet with a shrine to Arnold. She's just gay.
She's just gay. She's obsessive and gay, which is what I did with my crushes that were girls. I was like, okay, well, this is the obsessive. I don't know why being obsessive about the wrong gender when you're closeted is the move, but it was the move.
Totally.
I think I just wanted my obsessive crush was over a girl that was very popular. And I think I've told this story, but it's really devastating. And I'm going
to tell it again.
One sentence recap, which is that I had a crush on this girl, what I thought was a crush, and I photocopied the yearbook over winter break because I missed her, and I photocopied her picture.
Oh.
I printed her picture, and someone found out about this, and what I actually did was I just printed the photo and literally looked at it. I probably, like, tucked it under my pillow at some point, because I was like, I have a crush on her! And then someone spread a rumor that I was masturbating to it.
Oh.
Which could not have been further from the truth.
Oh, no.
Because I was too busy masturbating to videos I was downloading from LimeWire of, like, one twink, like, masturbating, because I told myself I was learning how to masturbate. So I was not jacking off to this picture of her, but it got spread around school.
No.
And then she, like, had to take a break from being my friend because she was weirded out by me.
But then you guys became friends again?
I think so. I think eventually, just like anything in the headlines, kind of news blows over. And with enough time, we were too busy worrying about the girl that the rumor was that she threw up on someone's dick when she gave a blowjob.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever have that rumor in your school? I feel like every few schools.
I never heard about it. But recently, a friend of mine that I went to high school with told me that there was a rumor about some girl who that exact
there's
rumor.
There's always the girl that threw up on the dick, which is really just like, I think, a sex shamey like ninth grade thing. Cause like clearly every boy wants to receive a blowjob. Every girl wants to feel so sexually empowered. But if we find out that one, especially girls, because people are so, you know, misogynistic, if a girl has done anything sexual, then the rumor becomes that she's a monstrous slut who vomited on the cock. Like that has to be the only, clearly that's the rumor that goes around. There's like the guy from Blue's Clues is dead. Like there's things that every community has to pass around. And I'm just saying that it's tale of the time.
That's so funny.
Were you, so it's talking about the high school rumors, were you out in high school?
No, I was not. I did not come out until college. So,
ooh, I love early college, late college, mid.
After freshman year.
Did you have any secret hookups in high school?
Oh yes, definitely.
What is wrong with me? I didn't touch a single same sex until college. Who were you, and how did it happen? The secret.
It was like my best friend at the time. We no longer speak. It's fine. We were like best friends, and we were like not gay. We were just like best friends, and we were like hooking up. But it was like we're not gay. We're like, this is just what normal best friends do.
Is she an out person now, to your knowledge?
No. To my knowledge, she's married and has a baby.
She's got a baby.
And also, like, we're like not friends on social media or whatever. And someone told me she had a baby. And then I wrote like a funny joke about it. Or I like posted something on like Facebook or Instagram, whatever. I just thought it was a funny joke. And then she like immediately like blocked me, which I thought was hilarious. And I was like, girl, trust me, I'm not like following your life. Someone just told me that this happened.
She was like, no more material about me and my...
She was like, I think she thought that I like had looked on her social media somehow and like found it. And I was like, no, I promise you I have not checked in years.
Do you feel comfortable saying the genre of the fallout? What happened?
Oh, well, I mean, it was like kind of my fault in a way where like we were like friends or whatever. And then that was like before I realized I was gay. This was like early high school. Uh-huh. And then I like went to a summer camp. And then I like had this crush on this girl. And then I actually realized I was gay. Uh-huh. And then because of that, I was like, I can't be hooking up with my best friend anymore, even though we're not gay. And then I like basically like stopped talking to her.
Oh.
So it was definitely me.
But it was also like wrapped up in your journey of figuring out how
Be. I don't think I was like trying to be like a dick or like whatever. I just was like, I can't be doing.
Oh yeah, there's okay, not to make a really devastating comparison, but have you watched the newest season of Love is Blind?
No, I've never seen that show.
And nor do you feel the need to. However, the newest season, there's a girl that Jackie, and she's really, all of her trauma, I think, is like getting in the way of her relationship with the guy. And I think that your like swirling of where you were at a life got in the way of the friendship. But
right.
I bring that up because compared to these two girls who are on the show who are just simply mean, monstrous people. Really one girl. Irina is her name.
Oh, okay. So a really close name to my name.
I did not even clock that. So, you know, like, there's, you know, you guys are very different. You know, her name's Irina. Yours is Irene. She is such a fucking monstrous bitch, and luckily everyone else realizes it. But while your names might have a similarity, I would say the intention could not be further from each other. Oh, wow. That's what cancels me, is me calling an own person on my podcast, comparing her to the villain of Love is Blind season 4. Oh, my God. Well, so you come out after your freshman year of college. So then what was the family response to the Irene's into girlies?
I just told my mom and she was like cool and fine with it or whatever. But like, we don't really like talk about it ever. Like, it doesn't really get brought up. Like, she's met like several of my girlfriends, but it's not usually like a thing.
So do you find, I'm very interested in this because I, last week was in St. Louis visiting my family, and I, for the first time, I really think this podcast is partly to blame, which is that I'm really sensitive to my queer identity and like standing up and making sure I have a voice and feeling I didn't have a voice growing up. And so now really taking a stand if I feel like there's something being said that whatever. And so I find myself being a little sensitive about it. And I wonder about other people who, like, you know, like it's maybe just not really brought up as a thing. What is your relationship to that? Do you kind of prefer that place with your mom of that it becomes not really a big elephant in the room just because it's simply like it's been said and now we just don't really touch on it? How do you feel about that?
I think it's just like, I'm just kind of a private person in general, ironically doing this podcast right now. So I think it would be weird if I just like talked about it all the time, because it's not really like in my own personality. So I think it's fine. But sometimes I do still feel like kind of weird if it like I, my mom has met my most recent girlfriend, but like, I was like, still like scared to like, be like, this is my girlfriend, you know, like it's still kind of like, you know, but I think that would be like that for like any gender, I suppose. It'd just be like, oh, here's a new person that I'm dating.
Well, in introducing any partner to a family member, especially like it's like watching a dog walk on its hind legs, because you're like, it's not something you're used to seeing.
Right.
Like, I remember watching my twin brother interact with my now husband for the first time, and I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're like, is this gonna go well?
Is this okay? It's also like when you introduce two different friend groups to each other.
Oh my God, that's the worst. I don't even do that. That's how afraid I am of doing that, is like, anytime I'm like...
learning you're avoidant.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I'm like, anytime I'm like, oh, I should like have a party of some kind. And then I'm like, oh my God, all these different people have to interact with each other. I'm like, let's just not do that.
Well, it's also an adult thing too. I think of like the older you get, the your friendships, the closeness changes. And so I think you like some people get lucky and like their closeness remains within the same group of people. But majority of the time, you're staying close with people who are in different parts of your life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they meet, there's a chance that it's not going to be a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you something else about you said that during the apocalypse that you're going to die in the first wave of people.
I fully believe that.
So when the world is ending, what is your role? Is it kind of like, are you just enjoying every vice that you haven't been able to enjoy as much?
No, I think I'm still going to prepare for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm going to start joining a gym soon.
I just joined a gym.
Look at us.
Golds.
Look at us gays.
Look at us gays. Well, speaking of gays, Gold's Gym has a steam room, and it's the least sexually tense steam room I've been in my entire life. So, like, there was a guy that walked in there in full head-to-toe clothing. I was like, this is not the vibe. This is not the Equinox I've seen before. It was, there's also just like straight, like they built it so that I feel the way I feel right now, which is that they like face it. You're in a corner like this. It's a wall of glass window facing a bathroom and the rest of the locker room. It's like fogged enough, but like, okay, you're very much in a fishbowl. And then because some of the guys don't want to be seen as gay, they will wear a towel standing up. They will face the bathroom, that face the window, and put their back to the rest of the men sitting in the like,
oh my God,
catty corner. And it's just like, okay, at least. At least give us a little bit of a show. I'm not going to do anything, but...
That's funny.
Gold's Gym, do not go there to cruise, because...
Because you won't. You'll see backsides.
You'll be parked at a red light.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you currently single?
No, I'm not.
Oh, so the... Okay, yeah. Okay. So when you... So then when you travel on tour to these different cities, how does your partner feel about the being out of town? Is it like a...
Well, we're long distance right now, so we're frequently not in town together.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And you're based in LA.
Yeah, so I live in LA, and then she's in the Midwest.
And I'm from the Midwest. It's awful, sir.
Me too.
What part are you from?
Chicago.
Well, that's... So it's interesting. So you're in Chicago, and you when you came out to your mom, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
And she said famously, I know, look at your hair.
Well.
I'm fact checking your jokes.
I was like, you know, I said it in a joke. So is that entirely accurate? No.
To you?
She did say, I know. But then obviously I wrote the punchline to the joke.
With your jokes, do you ever worry about your family's reaction? Or do you ever worry about posting things? And
no, I don't care.
I love that so much. And do you talk to your family about career stuff?
A little bit now, but mostly I just kind of give them updates. But I don't really usually look for feedback and any kind of that kind of stuff, because I just feel like, what's the point? And it's also, again, it's like, it's comedy. If you think everything I've said on stage is true, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not. Okay, most comics are making some stuff up. So
I made a joke up about my nephew that I said I showed him pictures of my wedding. I said, look, Uncle Eric had a gay wedding. And my nephew looked at me and he said, you didn't have a gay wedding. You had a tacky gay wedding.
I said, he's three.
The amount of people that commented on the video saying,
It sounds like your brother's sister talking shit about you.
I was like, sweetie, my three-year-old nephew did not say that, but like, it was a good joke.
That's so funny, though. Yeah,
thank you so much.
That's a great joke. Yeah, I just think it's so crazy that people think that everything that I say on stage or any comedian says on stage is just facts. I'm like, you think I'm just saying facts on stage? I would not have a job. None of this would be funny.
Well, the thing is like the seed of a lot of things have to be true.
Of course.
But it's if we only said the seed of things on stage, which is that like, let's say one of my jokes would be like, yeah, my parents really freaked me out before I went to college about ever having gay sex.
Like, that's not funny.
But the joke is, my mom said, if you're not on PrEP by Rosh Hashanah, you will get AIDS by Hanukkah.
Oh, that's funny.
That, yeah. You know, like, but like, have I had to fully unlearn my like sexual shame ever since that sex talk? Yeah. Is it funny if I just say that? Nair, it's just sad.
Exactly. So it's like, guys, I just think it's fun to like figure out what to say on stage to make people laugh.
Yeah.
So I love to like make some stuff up. I'm like, oh.
And see if it lands.
This? You like this? Okay, I'm going to just say this.
You know, when I had a car accident yesterday, turns out you didn't drive.
No, yeah. I never drove.
You don't have a driver's license?
No. What is a car?
Never been in a car. I do resent the people who I'm learning now are saying like there's a girl on, if I may make another pop culture reference that is highbrow, on Vanderpump Rules, a girl's never had pasta before. I'm like, that's a lie. I will resent because I don't believe you. However, I do need to guide us into the next famous podcast question, which is Irene 2. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
I think I would save Kristen Wiig.
Oh my god, no one has said that before.
What?
I'm not kidding.
No one.
I don't think, and this is like the 93rd episode, and because you know what? I think some people think she gets enough of her flowers, but I'm gonna say I disagree with that. I think she needs to be brought up more.
She needs to star in another movie.
I agree. The fact that Bridesmaids was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't it?
I don't remember, but it was such a good movie. That's my favorite movie.
Honestly, one of my favorites as well.
I don't know if it was nominated for an Oscar, because I feel like at the time they weren't very generous to like comedy movies.
I agree with you. I think, yeah, it was... Oh, okay. This is actually a twist. It was nominated for Best Writing Original Screenplay to Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo. And then, so like Kristen Wiig, Academy Award nominee. And then what I do remember is Melissa McCarthy was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role.
Gotcha. But no Kristen Wiig, huh?
Not for the acting.
Not for the acting, for the writing. But the script was great.
Unbelievable script. Yeah. I think that there was Maya Rudolph, I think, needs to get more flowers too.
Oh,
I know
sure.
That she's working a lot right now, but like she did you ever see the movie Away We Go?
Mm-mm.
It's like a deep cut because it was with Maya Rudolph. It's a 2009 film with Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski, and the movie opens with Maya getting eaten out by John Krasinski.
Oh my god.
And I was sold from the jump. Oh, Allison Janney's in it too. Yeah, it's a big,
oh, okay.
It's honestly 2009. So I had only come out like a year before that. And I feel like it was like an early like confirmation of my gayness. I think if I'd seen it while I was closeted, maybe would have accelerated. But Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig both have like a sensibility that like us, our people, I feel like, I don't know what it is about Kristen. Is it because of her like willingness to not take herself seriously, but also be like gorgeous, but also self-aware and funny? She's unproblematic, except that she did sing in the Imagine video at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, well, you know, I think like anything that happened around the pandemic, like it's a pass, like whatever,
we're all not proud
of what we were doing back then. Okay,
what was your most problematic behavior you did during March of 2020?
I think just laying in bed all day like doing nothing. Yeah.
Mine were panic attacks that I would have to calm down by chiropractic adjustment videos.
That's funny. I didn't get into baking bread, but if I did, I would say that. I'm not a baker. Why was everyone doing that?
Why pretend to be something you're not?
Yeah. You're going to take up a new hobby that's clearly not you? No.
Watching your starter rise?
Yeah. None of you cared about starters. And then everyone was just out of yeast because we all tried to make bread. Like, why?
And then there was, just like Ozempic today, no one with diabetes can get their medicine. And just like the real bread bakers back then, no one could get their goddamn yeast.
Yeah.
I think those are very comparable and both equally important.
Definitely. Diabetes.
That was yeast. A big thing. The bread baking was a big thing.
It was huge. We literally could not buy yeast.
Who's we?
I mean, everybody. But I meant like my mother and I. Because she needed yeast for like not make baking bread for like something else, and then she was like, there's just no yeast.
Wait, what else do you use yeast for?
I could not tell you. But she wanted to make something that was also maybe bread like but we were not making
this
bread.
This is why I can't do a trivia show. Like, there was a casting notice I read this morning for a game show, and it was for trivia, and I was like, if one question was like, name one other thing you use yeast for.
I'm like, I don't know.
I'd be like, to combat the infection, like, yeast on yeast, I don't know. Like, I truly could not tell you.
I don't know either.
God, that's sad. Sometimes I wonder if I'm just, like, dumb.
Oh,
like, I went to a hot pot restaurant with friends the other day, and the restaurant was maybe, you know, 30 square feet, and I got lost coming back to the table from mixing my sauce.
Have you ever, like, parked your car, like, two blocks away, you come back, and you're circling the block, and you know anywhere you parked your car? Because that happens to me all the time.
My sense of direction is getting worse and worse and worse.
I've never had one.
I was once getting drinks with, for the first time, someone who has done this podcast. I'm going to say his name because it's only bad for me. It was Brian Moylan, who is like such a great, great Judy. He was in town from London. We went to get drinks in West Hollywood. He lived close, but I was like, oh, if you need a, he Ubered there. I was like, oh, I can just drive you home. He's like, that's so nice. I walk out of the bar with him, start circling the block, and I can't find my car. And I was like, just moved to LA, just started driving my own car.
Oh, no.
I had it try to open an app that said where the car was, but my password wouldn't work. And so I couldn't, I was like, this is so, and then I found it like the other direction, a single block away.
Oh, God. And was he still with you?
Oh, by that point, he had taken a city bus. No, I'm kidding. He totally was with me, but he was a great sport about it.
That's so funny. Yeah, that happens to me all the time where I'm like, I know I parked so close to here. No clue which direction.
It makes me feel better that you also don't have a sense of direction, because I sometimes feel a little, embarrassed about it.
I think it's genetic.
I hope so.
And I'm going to blame it on that.
Yeah, I would love to blame it not on my own innate dumbness. I don't know. I think it's just our personalities become more volume turned up as we get older.
Okay.
Like, my parents have become, I think, kookier. And I think my sense of direction is getting my lack of sense of direction is getting turned up too.
Yeah.
Or my brain cells are dying because I smoke too much weed. But I don't think I smoked too much weed. But I'm saying, like, that's just my hypochondria now.
Well, I don't do that. So.
Okay, so then it's not that.
So it's not that. Yeah. I mean, science, right?
Science. That was science.
Yeah.
Out of left field question, but I need to ask you or else I'd be mad at myself. What was it like to open for Sarah Silverman after having been a fan of hers and watched her for so many years?
That was incredible. The most nervous I've ever been in a very long time. Felt like I was going to throw up. She's super nice. I had met her a couple times prior to me opening for her, but we hadn't really talked for an extended period of time. She's just the nicest person. So lovely. No notes.
That's so much. No notes.
And hilarious. The new hour is incredible. Can't wait for everyone to see it whenever she puts it out.
Did the set go well after all of your nerves?
It was good. Yeah. So I did two shows with her. The first show I have a new bit that's very dark that I did. And someone in the audience did not approve of the subject matter and yelled out. During the joke, and goes, that's not funny. So I kind of had to address that briefly during the joke. So that was a little annoying. And I didn't end up doing it the next night because timing wise, the set was running a little long anyways. Because I kind of had to rush through the end of the joke. I had to rush through that joke. So I just cut it for the next night. But it was a little bit of a bummer because I really like this joke, but it is a kind of like a sensitive topic. So, but I also was like, it's like Sarah's crowd. Like, this should be cool.
I was going to say, you're going to a Sarah Silverman show. That's not funny.
It's like, that's crazy to me because I'm like, she talks about everything.
Well, I'm not gonna ask you to say the subject matter, but she has I'm gonna tell you one of my favorite Sarah Silverman jokes.
I like you more than bears love honey. I love you more than Jews love money.
That's not funny. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? It was weird. It was so weird. But also, I think that crowd was just maybe a little drunk or something because I think they were a little chatty. Next night, the crowd was great, though. But
you have a setup for, I think it's Don't Tell Comedy, where there's, I can hear an audience member that's like chiming in, and not in like a way that's like they were agreeing with you. But I remember thinking, like, you know, like Irene does such a good job of like an acknowledgement where it feels necessary, but also a non-acknowledgement where you didn't need to keep the set going. Like,
yeah, if I'm like just trying to go through my material, like not trying to do crowd work, I usually, if it's like really audible and noticeable and like needs to be addressed, I will like say something, but then I'm like, okay, I have to like do the rest of the joke. Yeah. So we're not going to harp on it. But that, in that case with the Sarah Silverman show, like this one person yelled so loud that definitely everyone heard and it like had to be addressed. So I had to be like, okay.
Did Sarah bring it up at all?
Yeah, I mean, they were all like, you know, you handled it great and like stuff. And they were like, that was really annoying.
Look at that. So pros,
that was very nice. But then I felt bad because I was like, you know, when you open for someone, you're like, you want to set up the show great. You don't want anything to like go wrong. And then I was in my head like, did I mess it up? Like all this stuff. Oh, and she was like totally fine and cool with it. But, you know, I still felt bad.
Oh my, I'm the queen of overthinking. Yeah. But congratulations on opening for Sarah. So, I mean, how fucking cool is that?
That's very nice.
Can you tell me why I have a note for you that it says TSA drama?
Oh, is it my joke about the TSA?
Oh, yeah. We're like, you...
It's about going through the TSA machine. Yeah.
Yeah. And then people are like... And then they're like doing the whole like scan. And then they're like, oh, this is sexual assault.
Yeah.
Or then your other joke that's so good about you would go to the men's bathroom, but you don't want people thinking you're pooping all the time. Where did the poop trauma come from? Because I very much had that.
I don't even remember how I came up with that joke. Well, I mean, I do remember the premise was just because every time I go to the ladies' bathroom, people are like, you're in the wrong bathroom. I'm like, no, I'm not. And also, who cares? Like, we're all here to pee or poop. Like, what's wrong with you?
Or eat lunch in a romantic comedy drama where you're the loser in school.
That's true. But not in a public restroom in the bathroom. That's the worst place to eat. But yeah, I think I was just... I think when I wrote that joke, I was just like, okay, yeah, but what if I did go to the men's room? And then I'm like, well, I obviously have to, like, sit down to pee. And I'm like, oh, men all just stand up to pee. And then I'm like, oh, they're going to think that I'm pooping in here. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. So then I wrote the joke. Because I'm like, right? Like, if you're a man and you go into a stall, you're pooping. Or doing drugs. Like,
I know.
That's probably what it is.
Or that. Yeah. There's a certain shame where there's like 15 open urinals and then there's two closed stalls and you're waiting in line for a stall. There's a certain shame about that I'm still trying to work through. But as the book famously says, everybody poops.
Yeah. Everybody poops. But at least like if you're in a ladies' room, you don't know who's pooping.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that. I'm so jealous of that.
Like, we could be doing so many things in the bathroom. You don't know what it is. Sometimes sometimes I'm just in there on my phone, okay?
I hope so.
Yeah.
A little refuge.
Yeah, a little refuge. Scrolly time. Okay.
My favorite part of moving to LA is sitting in my parking spot in my garage and staying on my phone.
I do that all the time.
It feels indulgent.
Yeah. And then you're like, why has it been 30 minutes? I'm not in my apartment.
And then I look at the teenagers in their car next to me, and I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, we're sadly coming to an end of this interview, but I need to ask you a question I did not prep you on.
Oh, okay.
Irene, too, the final question of this gay-ass podcast is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film? She's looking at the floor. She's looking to the corner.
I've never seen a Whoopi Goldberg film.
And just like Charlie on Vanderpump, who's never had pasta, Irene Du has never seen a Whoopi Goldberg film. Well, join me, everyone, in saying at the same time, 3, 2, 1, watch Sister Act 2.
Oh, I have heard that's good.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah. And I think that it's going to really do a lot for you. And listen, maybe ask your girlfriend if she has seen it. And then if either way, watch it with her.
Okay. Is that like gay?
It is.
Okay.
It's not explicitly, but it is.
Okay. Yeah. It's like queer.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's very much so. Irene, this has been such a treat. I truly mean that. I'm such a fan. I'm so grateful you came on.
I'm so glad you had me.
Of course. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on social media at Irene_2 on Instagram and Twitter, if people are still on that. Or Facebook and TikTok at Irene2Comedy. Or just go to my website. It's my name. .com. Find me. Come see me on tour.
Go see Irene on tour. Big Day Energy is selling out. Chrissy Teigen is obsessed with Irene's comedy. And I'll see you the next one, Irene.
Thank
you. You're a goddamn star.
Love you.
Thank you so much for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. It means the world that people show up every single week. And if you want to come to the live show on April 27th here in LA, hit that link in the description or in my bio and you can buy those tickets there. And I really do mean it. If you send it to one person who lives in LA, that would be a gift. Let's spread the gay ass gospel. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.